Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles and turn to that classic revival passage in 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles in chapter 7. You probably have heard the story about the guy that come to breakfast in the morning. His wife has a big smile on her face and said, "Honey, I dreamed last night that you gave me $500 cash to go on a shopping spree. You wouldn't spoil that, would you?" And he looked up and said, Oh no, go ahead and keep the $500. Think about that just a little bit. When I read that, that was real funny. You know, just a little bit elusive. It's not really there. And I got thinking about revival and how that just seems like it's a little bit out of our reach sometimes, and it really isn't. God has provided, and I'm telling you, as your pastor, it is the will of God that Fundamental Baptist Church has an old-fashioned Holy Spirit single rattling, roof-raising revival. That's what God would have us to have in these last days in which we live. Unfortunately, some of us are more kind of like this, 21st century Baptists, right? Yep. I'm kind of busy.
Amen.
Yeah, that's kind of where we're at. I was going to preach that last message in the series out of Joshua this morning. If you got the prayer alert yesterday morning, it became very obvious to me that God wasn't leading in that direction. And I thought, well, you know, I just started reading my Bible. I came to 2 Chronicles 7:14. I thought, man, that passage has been preached a lot. But it's like the Holy Spirit told me, said, "Listen, you haven't exhausted it. You're not the biggest preacher in the world. You understand? And there's a message there for the people of God. You know what we need? We need a refreshing breeze from heaven's shore. We need God to smile on us. We need God to breathe on his people again. We've read about great revival. Some of us, we've had some spill over on us over the years, but it's been a long time. We've seen a lot of people get saved over the years. We had five people saved last Sunday. We had three people saved the Sunday before. We continue to see people get born again. I'm sitting on the platform this morning and I'm looking around and I counted a half a dozen new families that have started to attend this church in just the last month, and they're here and they're faithful. Then I look out and say, "Well, where's so-and-so and where's so-and-so?" And we need revival. If God would visit us with an old-fashioned revival, this place would be more than filled up. And I want you to know, the goodness of God leadeth to repentance. And if you'll sit back and think about how God good is to you, you'll go running to him. Hey, this morning, it's a blue sky, Upper morning. God is good to me. Upper air, I get to breathe that fresh, brisk air. I love it. God, I've got good health, relatively good health. It takes more and more effort to get things done, but God has blessed me with good health. I have a wife that loves me. Last time I checked, she loved me. I have kids that love me. I have grandkids that love me. I have great grandkids. I tell them that they love me. They're small enough they get that yet. I have a Savior that loves me. I have a Holy Spirit that loves me, and he guides me, and he teaches me, and the King is coming. And I have today. God has given me today. Forget about next Sunday. Forget about next Tuesday. Forget about tomorrow. God has given you life today. And we need to experience God in his fullness. I'm not trying to fabricate something. I'm not trying to work up revival. Are you hungry for it? Man, do you thirst for God in your life? I have a message for the American churches this morning. You tried programs. You tried money. You tried drums. You tried drama. How about trying God? How about having an old-fashioned repent of your sin, time before God, where God deals with us in a personal way and in a church-wide way, and things start to pop? Because if there's ever been a people that God has been good to, it's us. If there's ever been a preacher in this planet, on God's green earth, that God has blessed, I'm telling you, it's me. I have more than I ever dreamed I'd ever have. God has been better to me and good to me in ways I do not deserve. If I got what I deserve, my back would be broken. I'd be burning in hell right now. But God loves me. Man, how about we sell out to him? 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. And I want to read just a little bit. Solomon here is rebuilding. He's built the temple, the first temple. He's put a lot into it. 20 years to build. In American U.S. dollars, this is what the temple that Solomon built would cost. $216,603,576,000. He poured some money into that baby. What he was doing is he was building a place for Shekinah glory. He was building a place for the glory of God. Not to get on a little rabbit trail, but this is not the temple of God. I'm talking about the church house. God doesn't live within the four walls of Fundamental Baptist Church. We, as a New Testament church, we are the temple of God. We, as individual believers. It was in chapter 7, we read of great worship, verses 1 and 2, great consecration, verse 8, great sacrifice, and then a great visiting from God. It says in verse 1, would you stand with me, please, and let me read just a little bit. I'll read three verses, and then we'll pray. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the house. Oh God, that's what we need. And the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, and for his mercy endureth forever." Father in heaven, we come to you this morning and we proclaim in just mere mortal words in the English language this morning, God is good. We know your mercy endures forever. God, as we've gathered this morning in the church house, and we're not even all here. Lord, number one, we pray for those that aren't here. And if they're out of town, wherever they are, please protect them. If they're backslidden, God, please protect them, but gently bring them back to where they need to be. Lord, we pray for those that are here in the auditorium that you would move in our midst. And God, you would cause us to fall in love with you again, head over heels, no holds barred, complete surrender. We pray for those watching by way of live stream, and there are many. God, would you bless them wherever they might be? May these next several moments be a holy time before God. And we'll thank you. And God, we do thank you that you're good. And we do thank you that your mercy endures forever. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. First three verses, man, it's a great God. There's going to be great sacrifice. 22,000 oxen, 120,000 sheep. A very uncommon religion. Man, there's a very expensive day of a week of worship. Solomon means business. He's not holding anything back from God. And the sacrifices had to be moved to the outer court. There's just there wasn't enough room, not in the temple. There wasn't enough room that, you know, for all the sacrifices that were being given. Verse 8. Also at the same time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days, and all Israel with him, a very great congregation from the entering in of Hamath unto the river of Egypt. Such a great, great congregation, assembly of God's people. Wouldn't it be great if next Sunday morning, it'll happen this way if we're faithful, there'll be so many people here we can't all fit in the auditorium. We can't all fit in the lower level or out in the foyer. We'll have to have some out in the Heritage Building, in the gymnasium. I'm telling you, that can happen if we'll be serious with God over the next 6 and 7 days. If we'll do our very part. You met people, unless you're a hermit, or you live in an ivory tower somewhere, you met people yesterday that God intended you to talk to them about his son, about Jesus. You met people on Friday and Thursday and Wednesday and Tuesday and Monday. God had them cross your path. But some of us are so cold and so far from God, it never enters our mind. And then some of us start to get a little close, and you know what it enters our mind? After we've left them. So, oh man, why didn't I talk? I'm telling you, sometimes we're a little distant from God. And we need that old time revival. We really do. Verse 9 says, "In the 8th day they made a solemn assembly, for they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days, but they wanted more. And on the 23rd and 20th day of the 7th month, he sent the people away into their tents, glad and merry in heart, for the goodness that the Lord had showed unto David and to Solomon and to Israel, his people. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house, he prosperously effected." There was nothing, think about this. I know this isn't real deep preaching, but this is where we live. There was nothing in Solomon's mind, there was nothing too good for God. Nothing. He held nothing back. He gave everything he could. Isn't it any wonder? It's no wonder to me how God blessed Israel at that time, why he blessed Israel at that time, and why Solomon's fame grew because of the fame of Jehovah God. And the whole world would come to the temple and hear of the Lord God Jehovah. That is the way it's supposed to be. We're a lighthouse in the eastern Upper Peninsula. We are right smack dab in the middle of three counties. We're in a country. We're in a rural situation. But there are people an hour in every direction hungry for the Word of God. And we need an old-fashioned revival. And if we just get to the place where Solomon was and the people of Israel at this time, people will come out of the woods. People will come from every direction. The light will penetrate, go right down their driveway, however long that driveway is, or right in their living room window. I'm telling you, I'm speaking figuratively, but God, if Jesus, he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. That's the job of the New Testament local church. Now, we're to go after them, but we're to hold Jesus high. We're to hold him high, and he'll draw. He'll do the drawing. He'll bring them to Christ. We'll see many, many more come to Christ. Verse 12 says, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I've heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. Verse 13, there's the word if. Verse 14, there's the word if. Verse 19, there's the word but. In my Bible, I would encourage you to do that. If you've got a highlighter, mark those three words. If you've got an ink pen, circle those three words. They are the key to the promise that God makes his people. He says in verse 1, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, if everything goes wrong, if the economy bottom falls out, persecution breaks out from every direction, there's pestilence. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I will hear from heaven. They're right in the middle of good times. God is blessing. The temple has been dedicated. Man, they're excited. They're the nation that's the apple of God's eye. He has chosen them. All of his attention is on them. He loves them just like he loves the church and has chosen the church. And they got everything going. But he reminds them, he says, Solomon, if I send pestilence, I'm telling you, it'll be because of sin. But if I send pestilence, if I send hard times, financial collapse, know this, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I'll be there for them. If they'll turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven. Every time, I will hear from heaven and I'll meet their need. I just read of General Meade in the Civil War. The year is 1864. The Northern Army is well equipped, better equipped than the Southern Army. The Northern Army has industry, has so much at its disposal. Even the uniforms were better. They had more money, everything at their disposal, but they were losing the war. General Meade was the head of the Union forces. He graduated first in his class from West Point. He marched pretty, always wore his uniforms immaculately. He was a minuet. He was a toy soldier. He was passive. He was afraid to take chances. It was like the word advancement. Everything was cautious. Caution, caution, caution. Be careful. Well, Lincoln had about had it. He knew that everything was going to go real south real fast. So he chose another general to head up the Northern forces, Ulysses S. Grant, who graduated last in his class from West Point. But he was aggressive. Man, he was like devil may care. Throw caution to the wind. Let's attack. Let's advance. Let's get it done. He made this statement. He said, I don't want my name to be known as a pronoun. I want it to be known as a verb. You know, the Church of Jesus Christ is just that way. We have all of heaven's wealth at our disposal. We have all the gifts of the Holy Spirit that God has engifted the church. God has provided everything we need at Fundamental Baptist Church. We're the most well-equipped army in the world. But we're passive. We sit back. We don't verbalize the gospel. We blush to speak the name of Jesus to our peers. It's like, is it any wonder things are going backwards in this world in which we live? Let's be like, I'm not telling you to be like Ulysses S. Grant and start smoking cigars and drinking whiskey. He had some issues. He had some problems, all right? I'm not saying, but let's take on that aggressive attitude. Man, I do like people that are aggressive for Christ. I so much enjoy being around those kinds of preachers. There's a whole bunch of preachers that are just like General Meade. They're real passive, and they got their diploma and their degrees, and they dress right, and they talk right, and they never go after people. I talked to a man yesterday, witnessed to a man yesterday in front of a bunch of other men that you know, kind of the hard crowd, and I knew none of them were saved, and I started talking to them about Christ, and the one guy just kind of put me off, said, oh, no, not me. Friend A, no, not me. I said, boy, that motivates me. I told him that in front. It was just, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, there's nobody that's going to hold you back. You understand that? Amen. If you'll just start verbalizing the gospel, you'll see God will do great things with you. Amen. Let's look at the just a couple of verses. And I don't even remember if I opened in prayer this morning. Did I? Yeah. I did? Okay, thank you. Good. I don't have to do it right now. Then I feel like maybe I didn't. I want God the Holy Spirit. Verse 13, I'm going to shut up heaven. And if I do, and there be no rain, locusts come and devour the land. Pestilence among the people. Here's the promise. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. I've got a pretty simple line here this morning. I want to try to hit it as quickly as I can and what little time is left. It's not a fancy outline. Number one, we need to get real. Where would you be without Christ? Get real. Where would your family be today without Jesus? Let me say this. Jesus Christ is the lifeline. He's the one you need to reach out to this morning. If you've got needs, but you've got to get real. Like the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah in chapter 6. He said, man, I abhor myself in the presence of God. When he saw the holy God lifted high in his temple, he said, I abhor myself. Woe is me. I am undone. The apostle Paul later said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. I'm a wretch. I'm a nobody. This morning in Sunday school, the missionary referred to them that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. You see, you can look around. You can find somebody you're more spiritual than and make yourself feel good. But the fact is, you get in the presence of God and you realize you're a sinner. I'm a sinner man preacher. That's who I am. I stand up and preach the word of God, but I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm just like every other man on this earth, apart from God the Holy Spirit and God's saving grace. Man, and we need to get real. You know who needs revival? Preacher Rader, Pastor Rader. I need revival. I need to get closer to God than I've ever been. You know who needs revival? You need revival. Get real. You need revival over here, there, in the middle, over here, in the back corner, and over here. Everybody needs revival. We need to get closer to God. If we just get hungry for it, get a little bit hungry for it, forget about your credentials. Don't turn there because I don't have time. But Luke in chapter 18 talks about the publican and the Pharisee. And how the Pharisee complimented himself. Jesus spoke this parable and said, there's a Pharisee, and he says, I thank God I'm not like other men. Oh, man, I tithe. I go to the temple. I'm something. And then the publican stands outside the temple and beats his chest and says, God, be merciful to me. Be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, the publican's the one that left justified, not the Pharisee. So don't think you're better than everybody else. Understand it's the blood of Jesus Christ that covers all sin. And it were not for him, just get real. Credentials? I have no credentials except I'm saved and surrendered. That's it. You say, oh, but I've done this and I've got this degree and I make this much money and I got this job and I got hold these offices. Forget all that. That's just peripheral stuff. That's fluff. That's what that is. None of that will do you any good when you draw your last breath. Get born again and get surrendered. Number one, get real. If my people, Christians, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Reality. Humble yourself. Isaiah 6. He's in the presence of Shekinah glory. And you know what the prophet's response is? The man of God? He's on his face. Woe is me. That's where we are. Thank God for the grace of God. But get real. Don't harbor sin in your life. God will never bless that. Number two, get desperate. If my people, which are called by my name, shall pray. Verbalize your needs. Verbalize to God in holy prayer your heart's desire for souls to be saved. Don't have a wish list. Have a prayer list. Whisper the names of your loved ones and your children and your grandchildren and your cousin and your mom and your dad and your uncles and your aunts and your co-workers. Whisper their names at the throne of God. It makes a difference. Get desperate. Pray. Actually spend time praying. James 4:2, you have not because you ask not. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Daniel prayed three times a day, morning, evening, and at noon. The psalmist said, I pray three times a day, morning, evening, and at noon. Get real and get desperate. You say, preacher, I don't do a whole lot of praying. Then you're not desperate. You need to go to the only one that can meet the need. His name is Jesus. Our great high priest, the great intercessor. You go to Christ with prayer. You're concerned about America? Hey, we all are. We're in a bad way. God, Psalm 917, how's that go, Jim? How'd that start out? God will... Look it up fast. I'm on the internet. People are looking at me right now. It's okay that these people are looking at me, but Psalm 917, God... That's it. The wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. America has forgotten God. Man, Grandpa used to preach that, didn't he? How far down the road we are now. 8 out of 10 people in America, no church affiliation. Over 33,000 people in Chippewa County. A little over 1,000 are in good churches this morning. Mackinac County, 10,800 people. Luce County, 6,500 people. That's a little over 55,000 people. Souls are in the balances. They're teetering at the brink of hell. It's real. Get real. Get desperate. Get in place. By the way, God's people have always been a praying people. I think this generation has lost it. We spend our spare time on the internet now. And to give God spare time, that itself just says so much about it spiritually. Schedule that time. Get real. Get desperate. Get in your place. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Get to the place where you're clean before God. That can happen right here at the altar this morning. You can confess your sins. That's the great thing about being one of God's children. You're born again. You're already under the blood. You have the imputed righteousness of Christ. The problem is we get in the world and we get a little bit dirt on our hands, a little bit dirt on our shoes, a little bit dirt on our back. Sometimes it gets inside our heart and inside our head. Man, we got to confess that sin. Even though we're still a child of God, even though he'll never forsake us, never leave us, that's what he promises, we get all dirtied up and we want to be in the place where God can bless us. And God will never bless sin. So I come to the altar and I get on my knees and I confess my personal sins. I get into the place where God can bless me. And that brings me to another point. Get right. It's my final point here this morning. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Repent. That's a 180 degree turnaround. That is no more sugarcoating my personal sin. No more just be wailing or be woeing or woe is me and just put it in words and go on and sin again. It's turning away. It's forsaking the sin and turning to God. I don't know what God the Holy Spirit is talking to you about this morning. You got something going on in your life right now that is not in the will of God, and it is sin. You need to forsake that sin. Jesus said, God said in 2 Chronicles and chapter 7 and 14, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven. And I will forgive their sins. And I will heal their land. Revival is just a season of prayer away. Revival is a kind of thing where it's a nebulous term. It will happen instantaneously, but then it keeps bubbling and keeps growing. I don't know how else to describe that. It can happen in one person's heart, and they get right with God, and they think they got it all and everything, but then it just keeps growing. It just kind of keeps spreading, and it's an amazing, amazing thing to be part of. We need that in America. We need that in this church. Hey, there's another word I told you to look at. Verse 19. But. Great promise from God. Revival. Just repent. Just humble and pray and repent. Forsake the evil. I'll be there for you. I'll meet your need. You'll be blessed like you cannot believe. But. Verse 19. If you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, I shall go and shall go and serve other gods and worship them. Then will I pluck them up by the roots of my out of my land, which I have given them. And in this house, which I have sanctified for my name, will I cast it out of my sight. And I will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. America has known some great revivals. America is in deep sin this morning. 3,000 babies a day are murdered in America. 73 babies a day murdered in the state of Michigan. And that number fluctuates. America calls evil good and good evil. The haters say, how did we get to this place? We forsook God. We stopped obeying his commands. And God said, I'll take my hand off. I'll turn the wicked into hell and all nations that forget God. I believe we, if I had a choice of living, being alive at any point during the church age, if I could have chosen any time, it'd be today. It would be right now. You say, well, what about the day of Pentecost? Wouldn't that have been great? That would have been sweet. It really would have. But I want to end it. I want to be in that army that is faithful to God when the king comes, when the trumpet sounds. Little fire, little battle, little persecution. Nothing wrong with that. By the way, they got that in the first century, just like we're getting it in the 21st century. And we may get a whole lot worse, just like it did in the first century. And it ends, the 2,000 years of the church age, and the trumpet sounds, and we are taken home. I've got vision. I'll close by saying this. I'm done preaching this morning. I want to say this. I just want to somehow impart this to you, and maybe you'll remember it. And a few years from now, when it comes to fruition, you'll say, God is good. God is good. We're not done yet. We are not done yet at Fundamental Baptist Church. We're not done. We're not done. Now, before we have the altar call, if you know somebody that should be here this morning and they're not, maybe they just gotten a little bit unfaithful. It happens to everybody, doesn't it? So we're like sheep. We wander. All we like sheep have gone astray and turned everyone unto his own way. And the under shepherds here can't get to everybody. Go after them. Pray for them. Invite them. You know somebody that should be at Friend Day next week? Think about your family members. I want you to whisper their name at the altar this morning. And I want you to pray for them and then go after them. Think of coworkers. I want you to pray for them by name at the throne of God this morning and then go after them this week. Friends, acquaintances, people that you don't even know and you're going to meet this week. You go after them this week. You whisper their name in faith right here at the altar and then go after them. There's so much that has to be done.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.